Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Thai's Supreme Administrative Court reverses rulings, allows Falun Gong Association. Slovakia, voices against persecution in six cities. Austrian Ministry of Foreign Affairs shows concern over the persecution of Falun Gong. The courage of Falun Gong practitioners' families. Taiwan, picture exhibition exposes organ harvesting atrocities in mainland China. And 182 Falun Gong practitioners in Beijing arrested in first half of 2015. Now for the stories. Thai's Supreme Administrative Court reverses rulings, allows Falun Gong Association. The Supreme Administrative Court of Thailand on August 4, 2015, reversed rulings by the lower court and the Interior Ministry, which refused to allow Falun Gong practitioners to register. The higher court ruled that the group was lawful and constitutional. The decision was made during the time when more than 120,000 Falun Gong practitioners in China and overseas were filing criminal complaints against former Chinese leader Jiang Zemin for launching and directing the persecution. The Chinese government has been exerting pressure on the Thai government and trying to extend the persecution policy to Thailand. Falun Gong practitioners filed a document on January 4, 2005, in the Phaya Thai district to register the Falun Gong Association of Thailand. On September 27th, the Interior Ministry's local administration department rejected the registration, using the excuse that the registration would negatively impact Thailand's relationship with China. Practitioners filed a suit with the administrative court against the registrar over the rejection. The local administrative court ruled in favor of the Interior Ministry on February 2, 2006. Local practitioners then started the 10-year-long lawsuit. In court on August 4th, Falun Gong practitioners stated that the Interior Ministry's refusal was based on the propaganda from the Chinese government. They argued that the practice of Falun Gong is guided by the principle of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and is beneficial both physically and mentally. The Supreme Administrative Court ruled that the Civic Code, Article 82, allows the registrar to endorse an association if it is not unethical, abides by the law, does not disrupt peace and stability, or threaten security. The reason for registering the Falun Gong Association as given by the applicants was to promote Qigong exercise in the Falun Gong style and exchange news and information about practitioners and the general public that has no political or profit-making agenda. The court said that the application should not be seen as going against the law, disturbing morality, or as a threat to national security. The court said the local administrative department's claim that the supporters of Falun Gong were outlawed in China and that allowing registration of the group would affect bilateral relations has nothing to do with this group of people who are registering an association in Thailand. The 610 office attempts to extend the persecution overseas have failed. Under Jiang Zemin's direction, the 610 office, the major unlawful organization that carries out the persecution of Falun Gong, has been trying to extend the persecution policy overseas. For example, after the city of Kingston, Canada proclaimed May 13, 2012 as Falun Dafa Day, Chinese special agents impersonating practitioners sent emails to a city government official trying to discredit Falun Gong. The emails were subsequently forwarded to local practitioners who told the government officials what Falun Gong really is. The city government officials indicated that they would not be interfered with by the fraudulent emails and would support Falun Gong in the future. On May 13, 2013, the city of Kingston issued a proclamation to Falun Gong again. The city has proclaimed Falun Gong 7 years in a row, including 2015. Another example in Canada took place in May 2015, when more than 10 Canadian members of parliament said they received emails from people posing as Falun Gong practitioners. The emails were filled with threatening and derogatory language. The cases were reported by practitioners to the hate crime unit of the Ottawa police. Many MPs replied to a practitioner who clarified what had taken place and thanked her for the letter. Few believed that the malicious emails were from practitioners in the first place. They are now offering to help practitioners investigate this occurrence. Deputy Green Party leader Bruce Heyer said, "I don't believe that the Falun Dafa, who believe in peace, in truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, are going to threaten MPs. So it seemed probable to me that the Communist Party of China or party supporters are doing this to discredit Falun Dafa." The third example is from New Zealand. An email was mistakenly sent by New Zealand's foreign minister to members of parliament on May 5, 2015. In the leaked email, which was intended only for National Party MPs, Foreign Minister Murray McCauley told MPs not to attend a World Falun Dafa Day, May 13th, celebration. David Shearer, the Labour Party's foreign affairs spokesman, said to the press, It is outrageous to warn MPs off from attending events. It should not be dictated to by Murray McCauley and his ministry because they feel it might upset another country.
Slovakia. Voices against persecution in six cities. Falun Gong practitioners held a series of signature drives in six Slovakian cities to raise awareness of the violent persecution of Falun Gong by the Chinese communist regime. Many Slovaks, recalling their own sufferings under communist rule, expressed their support for ending the persecution in China. Practitioners held signature drives in the cities of Zvolen, Poprad, Martin, Zelenia, Trenčín, and Trnava during the week of July 24th to July 31st, 2015. It was raining when the practitioners arrived in Poprad, but people still came in groups to listen to what they had to say. More people came after hearing about the event from their neighbors. People practicing Falun Gong are being persecuted in China. We signed to object this persecution, wrote one resident of Zelina. Passers-by lined up to sign the petitions in Zelina and Martin. It is great to have you come here, said a local newspaper reporter in Trenčín. We experienced the evilness of the Communist Party in our youth, too. I believe the righteous will prevail, a woman from the Czech Republic commented on petition form.
Australian Ministry of Foreign Affairs shows concern over the persecution of Falun Gong. Dr. Gerard Dujak, head of the Human Rights Department in Austria's Federal Ministry of European and International Affairs, met with representatives of the Society for Threatened Peoples International, the Falun Dafa Association, and Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting on July 20, 2015. The three representatives had a discussion with Dr. Dujak about the persecution of Falun Gong and the state-sanctioned organ harvesting from unlawfully imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners in China. Dr. Wang Yang, chairman of the Austrian Falun Dafa Association, gave Dr. Dujak an update on the recent wave of lawsuits against Jiang Zemin, the former head of the CCP, who is responsible for the persecution of Falun Gong. Dr. Dujak expressed his concern over the persecution and said he would do his best to help stop it through diplomatic channels.
The courage of Falun Gong practitioners' families. Since the beginning of the persecution of Falun Gong, which has gone on for 16 years, I never stopped practicing. I have been in contact with many families of arrested Falun Gong practitioners throughout these years, and we've cooperated with each other to rescue their family members. What these families have said and done has touched me profoundly. An incident that happened in 2012 is a good example of their courage. Four practitioners, Ms. Lee, Ms. May, Ms. Hua, and Ms. Fen, pseudonyms, left town to hang Falun Gong truth clarification banners at night in 2012. But they did not return. Ms. Lee's husband immediately informed local practitioners. A practitioner's husband challenges the police. The police took Ms. Lee home, intending to ransack the home. She saw her husband at the entrance to their apartment building and shouted several times that the police were arresting an innocent person. Her husband approached the officers and said that his wife was a good citizen and asked why they had arrested her. Practitioners Ms. Xu and Ms. Yu, pseudonyms, were upstairs to remove the computer, and Ms. Lee's husband tried to stall the police. But about six officers carried him upstairs and arrested the two practitioners. They demanded to know who had hired them to move the computer, and Ms. Lee's husband took the blame. The police demanded to know where they kept their valuables. Ms. Lee's husband told them that there were valuables everywhere and that he would go after them for anything that was missing. He told his 9-year-old son to watch them closely and remember everything they took. Ms. Xu and Ms. Yu's families removed Falun Gong materials. Another practitioner and I rushed to Ms. Xu's home to move things out. Her husband was a little annoyed with his wife, but immediately got the message to move everything before the police arrived. The problem was to get Miss Hsu's laptop computer and Dafa books to safety. I told Miss Hsu's husband to put everything in his tricycle taxi and take it to his relatives in the country. Miss Hsu and Miss Yu's children cooperated well. As soon as Miss Yu's son learned about his mother's arrest, he and another practitioner moved his mother's things to safety. He contacted me to say that everything was taken care of and I should no longer worry about his mother's things. Ms. Hsu's child maintained close contact with me. In addition, the two children sought help from their friends and relatives to rescue their mothers. When the police ransacked Ms. Hsu and Ms. Yu's homes, they did not find anything and released them that very night. The two children later went to the police station to demand the return of their mother's cell phones. Ms. May's husband promises not to give her a hard time. Ms. May's husband was out of town on a business trip when Ms. May was arrested. Her son and a fellow practitioner moved her DAFA things to safety. Due to the limited time, many DAFA books could not be moved and the police confiscated them. Ms. May was illegally sentenced to 15 months of forced labor. Her husband was at first very upset and went to a practitioner's home to scold the practitioner. I gave 500 yuan to Ms. May's son, who was in high school, and another 500 yuan to her husband during the Chinese New Year. He was happy to see me, and I clarified the facts about Falun Gong to him for nearly 2 hours. He said that he visited his wife monthly and would keep me posted. He promised not to give her a hard time when she returned home. When she was released, she and her husband invited me for lunch. Ms. Hua's husband protected her. Ms. Hua was detained for a month and then sentenced to a year and a half of forced labor. The labor camp refused to take her after she failed the physical exam, so she returned home safely. The 610 office ordered the local police and domestic security division officers to arrest Ms. Hua several times, but her husband resisted their attempts. She has continued distributing Falun Gong informational materials, studies the Falun Gong books, and sends righteous thoughts. Ms. Fen's family most noteworthy. The most noteworthy of all are Ms. Fen's husband and daughter. As soon as she was arrested, they went to the police station to demand her release. Her daughter argued with the deputy director of the police station for her release, despite his rudeness. The director told Ms. Fen's daughter that she was arrested because she practiced Falun Gong and had hung up banners, which was a crime. When she challenged him about the laws her mother had violated, he claimed that the law was in his head. She asked for the return of the confiscated items, especially the cash, which were her property. "We didn't see any cash," said the director. "So many people were there. Go ask them. If your attitude were good today, I would give you back this purse with the money inside. But given your attitude, wait and see." Ms. Fen's husband tried to rescue his wife and did not complain even once. He oftentimes informed practitioners about her situation and asked them to send forth righteous thoughts for her. He also offered to send money to another practitioner whose family no longer cared about her because she had been arrested and detained several times. Father and daughter cooperated with each other to rescue Ms. Fen and displayed great courage and calmness. They hired a lawyer. Even though Ms. Fen was sentenced to a prison term, their courageous actions earned them the admiration and respect of the lawyers and practitioners. Conclusion. During the 16 years the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, has persecuted Falun Gong, it has fabricated many lies. However, because of truth clarification efforts by practitioners, more and more people have understood the facts about Falun Gong. The Falun Gong principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance have entered people's hearts, just like the families mentioned above who stood up for their family members and Falun Gong. The Communist Party's persecution of good people is doomed to fail, and those who participate in it will suffer the consequences.
Taiwan Picture Exhibition exposes organ harvesting atrocities in mainland China. A series of picture exhibitions in Kaohsiung, Taiwan, is raising awareness about the state-sanctioned organ harvesting atrocities in China. Beginning in April 2015, the exhibitions have shown at various locations throughout Kaohsiung, including the historic Taiwan Sugar Museum, the Qin Zhou Ying Train Station, Pier 2 Art Center, and National Sun Yat-sen University. The recent two-day exhibition at Qin Zhou Ying Train Station in Kaohsiung City was co-hosted by the Falun Dafa Association and the Taiwanese International Organ Transplant Care Association on July 25th and 26th. Thomas Chung was one of the organizers of a music festival at the Pier 2 Art Center in Kaohsiung. He visited the exhibition at the train station and immediately signed the petition after he learned about the organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience in China. He also provided a free booth for the picture exhibition at the popular Pier 2 Art Center. "I heard of the organ harvesting in China some time ago," he said. "I thought it was outrageous. How can the Chinese Communist Party do this?" Mr. Chung said that providing a free booth for the exhibition at the Art Center was his way to show support, as he wants more people to learn about this atrocity. Upon learning about the crime of removing organs from living Falun Gong practitioners and selling them to transplant patients, passersby condemned the CCP's violation of human rights and signed the petition calling for an immediate end to the atrocity. Visitor response regarding the organ harvesting tends to be uniform, from shock to being upset to condemning the Communist Party. The Pier 2 Art Center attracts visitors from all over Taiwan. Many people who stopped at the Falun Gong information booth said that they were aware of the persecution of Falun Gong, but few had heard about the crime of forced organ harvesting in mainland China. People were eager to sign a petition to help stop the atrocity. The Taiwan Sugar Museum, an historical site, draws many visitors, especially on holidays and weekends. A family of four said that they were Chinese government officials on an unguided tour of Taiwan. The mother read each display board closely and said that she had not heard about the organ harvesting issue before coming to Taiwan. She asked if she could do something to help those being persecuted. She signed the petition and asked her family to sign too. A Taiwanese woman and her daughter viewed the exhibition at the Sugar Museum. The woman said that her mother-in-law was planning a trip to China for an organ transplant. After seeing the exhibition, she said that she would discourage her mother-in-law from going to China because it would result in the murder of an innocent person. Passersby eager to sign petition. Several college students visited the information booth. One commented, "Only Nazis and the Communist Party would do such terrible things." After they signed the petition, one man said that he wanted to learn more about the organ harvesting issue so he could give the information to his parents who are doing business in China.
"182 Falun Gong practitioners in Beijing arrested in first half of 2015. According to data compiled by the Mingwei website, 182 Falun Gong practitioners were arrested in Beijing between January and June 2015. In addition, 12 were harassed at home, resulting in no arrest, and 5 were reported missing. It is suspected that those who are missing were arrested. The number of arrests peaked at 56 in April, averaging 2 per day. This coincides with April 25th, the 16th anniversary of a large peaceful protest in Beijing, a date deemed sensitive by the Chinese Communist regime. May saw the second highest number of arrests at 37, coinciding with May 13th, the anniversary of Falun Gong's public introduction, another date deemed sensitive by the authorities. Among the 36 arrested in June, 6 were seized in post offices while trying to mail their criminal complaints against Jiang Zemin, former head of the Chinese Communist Party, for orchestrating the violent persecution of Falun Gong. One practitioner was arrested in a printing shop while copying lawsuit materials. Since May, more than 103,000 people, including over 1,900 Beijing practitioners, have filed lawsuits against Jiang. The authorities in many places, however, responded by ordering post offices to stop processing lawsuit mailings or outright arresting practitioners. Among the practitioner arrests, 55% took place while practitioners were outside talking to people about the persecution of Falun Gong or trying to mail their criminal complaints against Jiang. Another 16 took place at practitioners' homes, an indication that the police had the practitioners on their radar already. The remaining 29% of arrests remains to be investigated in terms of the exact arrest locations. On the 182 arrested, 5 were released on medical parole, 56 were released unconditionally, and 31 are detained at the time of writing. The whereabouts of the remaining 90 practitioners following their arrests are unknown. The first half of 2015 also saw 10 Beijing practitioners tried and 15 sentenced to prison terms ranging from 3 to 4 years. These include practitioners arrested in both 2015 and years prior.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.